And we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to our good friend John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Has the draft now in the rearview mirror. John, how are you?
John and Jimmy, I'm doing great, and I hope you guys are as well.
Yes, sir. So for all the things that you might carry with you to a baseball game, how high up a list to razz the other team would a garbage can be?
If all the class I had was third, and if I had nothing else going on in my life that I should worry about, and I was only the way I could get any attention in life would be to do something really, really stupid and immature, then I might do that.
Gotcha. Well, at least we know the qualifiers that must be in place.
You know, it's so funny. There's only five players left on the Astros team, four infielders and pitcher Lance McCullers, who were on that 2017 World Series team. And they were one game from the World Series last year. They lost four games at home the year before in the World Series. People think they cheated all those years. And I'll tell people, I say, you know, I don't try to change their mind. I said, so you say they cheated when they were the only team in baseball history to lose four games in a World Series. They were cheating then. And how were they cheating when they won three games on the road at Washington? And when I do that, I like to say they sound like Porky Pig. They go, blah, 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 because they don't have an answer.
Well, John, why don't we dive right in? The draft has come and gone. From the Texans' perspective, did you like how they handled the picks they had, and do you like the quarterback they came away with?
The Texans have brought in 37 veteran free agents, all but one. 36 of them are 1 and 2 year contracts. So these guys, a lot of them are coming off injuries. Some of them started 2 years ago and all were available. And so they're coming in hungry, trying to impress people so they can get a contract extension. They only had five draft choices. They went in with eight. But because of those 37 players acquired in free agency trades, there was no need to stockpile draft choices. And it's going to be really hard for the five picks they have to play as rookies because of all those veterans. And they'll contribute on special teams, or some of them be on a practice squad. But the one that intrigued everybody was quarterback from Stanford, Davis Mills, who when he came out of high school in Georgia, he was the highest-rated quarterback in the country. And he had a knee injury. Then he blew out his knee in the state championship game, redshirted as a freshman. And they had – he had knee injuries for a couple of years, and then he beat out the starter as a junior. And last year, if they'd have played a full season, he would have started, but he played six games. So Davis Mills comes into the NFL with 14 college games, 11 starts, including six last year. So he's very raw. He played for David Shaw, who's one of the top college coaches in the country, one who could go to the NFL anytime. But his wife has told him, unless you find a better place than Palo Alto to live, we're not moving. And there's not very many places better than Palo Alto, California. So he seems to be a lifer at Stanford. And the media always had him on the shows here talking about Mills. He's 6'4", 217. He's got a great arm. He's really smart. He said he makes good decisions. And he's not mobile to run for yards to where you got a game plan for him. But he can move and avoid a rush. But what he needs is experience, and he's not going to get it here because he'll start third behind Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Finley. And I still believe, as I've been telling you guys for weeks, that Deshaun Watson will be traded sometime after his legal issues are resolved. But they're not going to give him away. You know, he's not going to report, and they can hold it. And he can go on the commissioner's exempt list for the season where he'd get paid. If he holds out, he's going to lose a fortune. So he should be begging Roger Goodell, hey, please put me on your exempt list and take your time on the investigation until after the season so he can make his $10.5 million. So I think those will be the three quarterbacks. And at some point, they're going to have to look at Mills, see if they think he can play. And it's rare that a third rounder is a franchise. You see every once in a while, Joe Montana in 79, Russell Wilson, I think, was in 2013. You do see some every once in a while. But if you look back at third-round quarterbacks, there have been so many. not that just didn't win backup jobs, but that were total busts. So we don't know if he's going to be a bust or if he's going to be good, but there's a good chance the Texans are going to be using their first pick in 2022 on a quarterback, and it could be first overall. And I'm writing a column for Sunday looking ahead at the quarterbacks who could be the next Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, or Zach Wilson. At this time in their college careers, nobody thought they were going to be first or second overall picks.
John, were you surprised that San Francisco took Trey Lance with the number three pick?
Jimmy, I can tell you, that just drives me crazy. In my mock drafts, a couple of them I had Trey Lance, and then I kept thinking, okay, everybody else is saying Mac Jones, and if I say somebody else and they take Mac Jones, I'm gonna just beat myself up. So my last mock draft, which is my official one, I switched to Mac Jones and was an idiot. And I looked and I told people, and I went against what I actually did is I told people nobody mentioned Mac Jones and the 49ers till he made the trade, and Kyle Shanahan's close friend Chris Sims put out on Pro Football Talk they were going to take Mac Jones. So everybody's thinking, oh, wow, he ought to know. Let's put Mac Jones there. Where in reality, if Kyle Shanahan told one of his best friends, here's who I'm taking, don't let it out, of course he's not going to let it out. So Shanahan knew the moment he traded up he's going to take Trey Lance, and Chris Sims perpetrated a myth on us, and because I don't think Shanahan lied to him and would make Sims look bad like that when they're so close. But I blew it, and I also blew the fourth one in Atlanta because I thought Matt Ryan's cap figure next year is $48.5 million. That'll be impossible without redoing his deal again. And next season, I think he'll be 38, be 37 this season. So I thought they'd take a quarterback, and then, of course, they took Kyle Pitts. So out of these top five that went the first 15 picks, two or three of them will be buzzed. And I go back to, I think I've mentioned this before, if you date to 2018 when Blake Bortles was the third overall pick by Jacksonville, there have been eight quarterbacks taken among the top three between 2014 and 2018. And the only one still with the team that drafted him is Baker Mayfield. So that does not bode well for these quarterbacks going in the top three.
Is COVID and the lack of a true combine an explanation as to why the Titans did not know that Rashad Weaver had an assault charge from April 18th?
Let's think, April 18th before the draft, you know, would, you know, why didn't it come out? You know, there's police reports on these things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was thinking about timing. You're supposed to check people out. I mean, they drafted Isaiah Wilson last year, and he's one of the biggest busts in history. He's out of the NFL, and Rashad Weaver's looked at as a good pass rusher. But charges, not police charges, but the charges by the victim saying that Aaron Donald beat him up in a parking lot at a bar, turned out Darnold didn't. He was trying to pull people off of him, and the guy either was mistaken identity or he said, oh, wow, that's Aaron Donald. He makes $20 million a year. I'll say it was him. And you have to make sure these things get investigated. Like Deshaun Watson, the 22 civil lawsuits, they're still there. And until he's able to resolve those, I don't see him being traded. And so we have to wait and see how the Rashard Weaver thing plays out. There have been instances like Tyreek Hill, Frank Clark at Seattle. Those guys had Joe Mixon at Cincinnati. Those guys had terrible things involving women on their resume in college, and they still got drafted. And there was an outroar when they did, and then it died down. Now people give them standing ovation.
And John, what have you thought? We've got yet another embodiment of QB drama. First, it was Deshaun Watson for a completely different reason than it is now. Then it was Russell Wilson. Now it's Aaron Rodgers. Have quarterbacks supplanted wide receivers as the divas of the league?
Oh, my goodness. They have. With money comes power. They want to be involved in personnel decisions. Aaron Rodgers needs to talk at some point. You know, having it linked to Adam Schefter right before the draft, I'm guessing by his agent, then they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew the effect it would have on the agent. I think it was ESPN reported today, that Rodgers had told the guys whose contracts were expiring last season he wouldn't be back, like he was trying to sabotage the team. I find that so hard to believe that he tried to sabotage the team. He certainly played like he was trying to go to the Super Bowl. And there's going to be so many things that come out, and there's nobody to dispute them. He wants Brian Gutekunst, the GM, fired. Gutekunst has done a tremendous job. They've been one game from the Super Bowl the last 2 years. He signed free agents like his predecessor, Ted Thompson, wouldn't do. They have a great offensive line, good running game, great passing game. Wide receiver and tight end were voted to the Pro Bowl. So the Packers' problems is not the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. Now, he did a poor job communicating with Rodgers last year. Did it bother Rodgers? Yeah, I'm guessing it did, but he played a whole lot better than he played in 2019. People draw parallels to this and when Rodgers was drafted in 2008, and there's a big difference. In 2008, Aaron Rodgers dropped all the way to 24. The general manager, Ted Thompson, didn't need a quarterback. He had Brett Favre. But, as he said, Rodgers was the only guy left on their board with a first-round grade, so he took him. In the case of the Packers last year, they traded to move up to get Jordan Love. Now, if you look back at the kind of season Rodgers had 2019 in his playoffs, he wasn't nearly as good as he was this year. And so I thought very telling was the fact that his agent tried to negotiate an extension that would guarantee that he stay, finish his season in Green Bay, and they'd end up having to trade Jordan Love. But Gutekunst didn't do it, and so that infuriated him. So it tells me if they would sign that extension and give him more money, he'd be happy. But as it is, and I think Mike Florio pointed this out, if he were to retire, it'd cost him $44.5 million because he'd lose his base salary, he'd lose portion of the signing bonus for this season, plus there was another bonus, and I don't think Jeopardy pays $44.5 million. On the other hand, he's made $240 million, so it's not like he needs the money. And so I believe that he'll be playing for the Packers next season. He's under contract, and there's a big difference. You know, if it was money with Deshaun Watson, they would have handled it, but it's not. And with Rodgers, if they're trying to get an extension, then money played into it. But I think if it was more of a commitment, because Rodgers has said he wants to play into his 40s like Tom Brady, and who's to say can't? Certainly played great last year in winning his third MVP award.
Let's get a call from Sandra, who joins us. Sandra, you're on Sports Talk. Hello.
Hello. John, you just took my question there. It was about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I read an article yesterday that said he was quite upset because there was a veteran receiver whose name I can't recall that was cut, I think, back in September.
Jake Kumerow.
That was kind of, yes, and he said that the article alluded that was what kind of the nail in the coffin. But where do you think he might end up if he doesn't go to the Packers? And then, Mr. McClain, one other question. Who do you think, what team did the very best in the draft this year? And I'll hang up and listen to your comments. You gentlemen have a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Jake Kumerow was his buddy, and he's not very good. You don't keep guys on the team because there's buddy. His other buddy, Jordy Nelson, they cut him after he had a knee operation. It wasn't the same, and he went to the Raiders. So you don't keep people on roster because they're tight with a quarterback or another player. Teams that I thought, well, first of all, now there's five teams that drafted quarterbacks in the first round. Now you'd think they wouldn't be interested in Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, but take away Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. But if you called any of those other four and you said, hey, would you like to have Rodgers instead of, say, Mac Jones or Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Zach Wilson, course they would. I'm guessing they'd say the same thing about Deshaun Watson once he's got the legal issues resolved. And so the teams left without quarterbacks that were really interested in Watson were Denver and Carolina. They were real interested. Washington was somewhat interested. Now, the Packers, it's put out that they think Denver and, let's see, who was San Francisco, tampered with him by contacting him to gauge his interest. Well, that could be true, but most teams are not stupid. They go through the agent. Because if a player tells his agent they contacted me, you can end up losing draft choices. Philadelphia lost a third and a fifth round pick for contacting receiver Jeremy Maclin. So Denver's still looking for a quarterback. Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater are not going to take them to the Super Bowl, I don't think. And I would imagine Carolina is not married to Sam Darnold right now because he hasn't played. And Washington, you know, if you look at Washington's quarterback situation, they got a great defense. They got a good running game. That they, if they had a good quarterback like, say, Rodgers or Watson, they'd be a team contending for the Super Bowl. So there's interest out there. The Raiders may decide, let's go after Rodgers and we'll get rid of Derek Carr after next season. So there are teams out there. As far as teams that I thought did really well, I thought both New York teams did a tremendous job, just tremendous job. I really liked what Atlanta did, what the Chargers did, and those are the ones I think I gave A's to. I thought the Broncos had a terrific job. There were a lot of real good ones. People down here infuriated. I gave the Cowboys a D+, but I did it because they took a couple of people with off-field issues, and I thought they were beyond that.
I don't know if you'd have any insight into Trey Smith, the Tennessee offensive lineman, falling to the sixth round. Do you think that was strictly concerns about his medical condition?
I would think, and the problem with that, if you've got a medical condition this year and every team cannot have their doctors examining you, they're going to take less of a risk. In a normal year, you go to the combine, every team would have their doctors there, and you'd get poked and prodded by them, and then they report back to their team and they say, here's what we think, take him or pass on him. So if you've got any kind of medical issue, in most cases it hurts you much more than it would under normal circumstances without the limitations because of COVID-19.
Juwan James, a former Tennessee player, injured, tears his Achilles heel, working off-site. That means that possibly Denver doesn't have to pay him. Do you think they should pay him as long as he really was working out and it wasn't like a skiing accident or something else? And do you think that's going to impact people maybe deciding, okay, I'm going to go to the facility and work out. I don't want to get hurt and lose a big paycheck.
Well, first of all, the union encouraged all players to not work out at the facilities. Now, there's a lot of players working out at the facility. Texans have almost 60, and other teams do too. There were 21 teams that put out through the union statements saying they would join the union and staying away. And then a lot of their players went in anyway. 230 players have workout bonuses. Like Brandon Cooks, receiver for the Texans, gets $500,000 for working out a certain number of times. And the union said, hey, we want you to earn the money. But it is specifically clear that if you get hurt on your own, it's a non-football injury, and they don't have to pay you. Now, the problem with Juwan James, in 2019, he played three games with them, blew out his knee. Then he opted out last season. So it's not like he's been a big part of the Broncos for a while. And I'll guarantee you, every team in the league is hoping they don't pay him that $9.95 million because they're hoping agents will tell their guys, you better get your butts to the facility. And you see this sometime. And in most cases, if you're a good player, if you've contributed to that team, they'll pay you. And so in this case, James could be hard luck. He's 29, and Achilles is not something you come back from in 6 months ordinarily, especially if you're a big guy like he is. But he could come back next year. Hopefully he'd be okay. But they've got to decide. If they don't pay him, it's going to get a lot of attention. Would it hurt them on getting free agents in the future? Would it make the rest of their players want to come in and work out? I've never understood this thing about telling people to stay away because of COVID-19 is ridiculous, because there's no place safer than a team facility for COVID-19 right now, because all the protocols are in place. You can get vaccinated anytime. You get test results back in an hour. You and your family, everybody can come in there. So that doggone hunt, the reason they're telling them to stay away is veterans want to work out on their own anyway. They don't want to have to go over there. They don't want to have to fight traffic. And plus, if they don't work out there, a lot of them might be able to keep their jobs because the young guys won't be as ready as they ordinarily would if they worked out over there all the time. If you're a player in the NFL and there's a chance that somebody's going to beat you out for your job, you better be at that facility working.
John, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
John and Jimmy, thank you guys very much, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. It's an absolute pleasure for us to head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to say hello to a longtime friend of the program. It's been a little while since we caught up, but always great to say hello to Chris Monter of Monter Draft News and a fantastic follow on Twitter at College Basketball News, which is at College BB News. Chris, how are you?
Great to be back with you. How are you guys today?
Doing quite well. And as we are steamrolling our way towards the playoffs in the NBA, what do you think in terms of this first season after the bubble? And from your perspective, what was it like to see last year finish the way it did?
Yeah, I think the NBA season has been very good. Obviously, you have, and I'm not sure I want to see it forever and ever, but, you know, the talk about the play-in games and, you know, whether that is fair for the teams in such a shortened season where you're only playing 72 games and you're playing a lot of back-to-back games. But I think the fact that you're seeing teams playing hard all the time and teams not resting players, that was my issue when, you know, Kawhi Leonard and some of the stars would sit out, you know, especially when you're going into a road game. I always felt, why not have them sit out a home game instead of a road game? Because, you know, I know when Steph Curry comes to Minnesota, normally, you know, those tickets are very valuable because kids and fans want to see those star players, whether it be a LeBron James, Kevin Durant, James Harden, et cetera. So I kind of like that fact for this year. I don't know if I like it forever, 10 teams making the playoffs, but it has made the very competitive, and we haven't maybe seen as many players sitting out. Obviously, last year, playing in the bubble, you know, the Lakers winning a title, LeBron getting another title with his third individual team, Miami having a great run in the playoffs after kind of seemingly coming out of nowhere a little bit last year. And then this year, you know, I feel like every week somebody asks me who I like in the playoffs, and I think about every week it changes. You liked the Lakers a while ago, and then they've had a lot of injuries with Anthony Davis and LeBron, and then, you know, you looked at what the Nets were doing in Brooklyn with their big three, looking good at times, and then a lot of injuries with those three. So I think this year maybe is as wide open as any NBA season I can remember.
Could you imagine, and I'm like you, I'm not a fan necessarily of the play-in, because I do think if you've got this many games to decide it, if you've got a two-game lead, you're 8, and you've got a two-game lead on 9, 9 had its chance, but this is going to happen. How crazy would it be if indeed the Lakers fell to the play-in consolation and that tournament, and then you also have the recent champ Golden State also trying to climb that ladder after last year's disaster, meeting in the play-in rounds?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it both ways, especially when it's a complete 82-game season that maybe I'm not quite as hard about it. But to be honest, I really don't even like the play. I still call it play-in games in the NCAA tournament. I don't care what they say. I could probably live with just 6 year teams, to be honest, with the NCAA tournament, although we've seen, you know, UCLA make it to the Final Four this year. That was kind of my favorite team growing up, so I kind of always followed the Bruins, and my nephew just graduated from UCLA. So I followed them, and of course you had, you know, VCU years ago making it to the Final Four. But I, to be honest, could probably live without those extra four teams being in. I'd rather see more of the smaller schools, the mid-majors, get in, and maybe not quite so many of the Power Five conferences get in. But you're right. It's something we have, and it could be some interesting matches. Like you mentioned, possibly you could see the Lakers against Golden State, so you'd have two of the biggest names in the NBA, and LeBron and Steph Curry, and then I think when I was looking at it recently, it could possibly be New Orleans playing Memphis, where you have two young standouts in Durant, who was Rookie of the Year, and Zion Williamson, who was the prohibitive favorite, but because of missing some games with injuries, didn't win Rookie of the Year. So that could be a fun matchup as well. So it's very intriguing this year. Like you said, I'm not sure it needs to stay around forever, but I think when you have shortened seasons like we did last year and this year, I'm not going to argue as much about it.
Well, LeBron James didn't seem to be a big fan of it. He said whoever came up with the idea ought to be fired. What if that idea was from the commissioner?
I have a feeling it probably was from Adam Silver. I mean, I look at it both ways. Obviously, you know, it would have been maybe nicer if LeBron maybe had said something of this a month or two ago when they're in first place and not when they're in sixth place. You know, then you maybe feel it has a little bit more of a compelling argument. You know, obviously, if it affects you, you're maybe more interested in, you know, something that you're not pleased with. And we saw Luka Doncic and Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, say something very similar just a week or two ago. So, I mean, I understand the point of it. Like I said, I would feel better if he was saying that all along. Maybe you don't really care unless it really involves you. When you're a one or a two seed, you don't really care about a playing game. But obviously because of some of the injuries with LeBron himself and Anthony Davis now, you know, those playing game possibilities are very, very evident.
You mentioned Zion Williamson and John Morant. Recently, we've seen Williamson against Steph Curry. And one, I wanted to get your take on how compelling that's been. And secondly, the tear that Steph Curry has been on.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love my birthday, March 14th. I like to think I'm better at math than a lot of people. So I love that Albert Einstein is born the same day as me, and later on in life, I found Steph Curry is born the same day as me. And to be honest, I like to play pre-COVID. I tried to play basketball 5 days a week. And to be honest, when you get a little bit older, the more older you get, I think the more you want to just sit outside and jack threes. And to be honest, I like to think I can shoot better than a lot of people. So I like the fact that he's born the same day as me. But you're right. He's just been on an amazing tear, and it's just, you know, he's such a creative ball handler, too. I think people, you know, are obviously going to see the shot-making ability, especially from, you know, 30, sometimes even 40 feet. But I think just his passing ability, and now teams are even trying to double and triple-team him, and he's such a great court vision, has great court vision, sees, you know, the floor so well. He's just going to get lots of assists, obviously, if you're going to try and do that with him. And I know a lot of people here in Minnesota where I'm based out of, every time he comes into town, they want to see him for one reason. Obviously, he's a great player. But the other reason is maybe I think Minnesota people are a little bit masochistic. And he's a player, if you might recall, when he was drafted, the Timberwolves passed kind of twice, taking Johnny Flynn, who has not been in the league for a long time, and Ricky Rubio, who's actually now back with the Timberwolves, passing on Curry. So he's always kind of a player that fans think, geez, what would have happened if maybe Minnesota would have taken him instead of two other point guards that same draft.
Chris, just with a quick look at the NBA, who do you think is playing the best ball right now? I don't know that anyone thought Phoenix would be in the position it's in, thought the Suns would be good, but perhaps not this good. And are the 76ers, can they get this done after being such a disappointment last season?
Yeah, that's a big question mark with Philly, and again, the injuries. And like I said, I've changed who I thought was going to win the title and even going to be in the Eastern or Western Conference Finals several times just because of all the injuries. But you're right. Joel Embiid, I think, has had an outstanding season, one of the favorites to win the MVP along with Jokic of Denver. You know, LeBron was kind of the early season favorite, but obviously missing so much time. And Harden, I think the fact that he did such a great job with the Nets, you know, his name got thrown in the mix. But I think Embiid has a great chance to win. And I think they made some great moves in the offseason surrounding themselves with shooters. And that's what they did a couple of years ago, and kind of got away from that last year when they got knocked out in the playoffs. But I think they're definitely a strong team. And you're right, I think the Phoenix Suns, Chris Paul, you know, is getting up there a little bit in age, but he just shows you how valuable he is. And every time he gets moved to a different team, people maybe count him out. But you look at even the job he did at Oklahoma City last year, they were a much improved team. And you look at him this year without him, you know, obviously I think they're trying not necessarily very hard to win games and get some young players because they have millions of draft picks. But the difference between Oklahoma City last year to this year, and then even the Phoenix, even though they play extremely well in the bubble, won all the games in the bubble, they've really made it to the next level. You know, the question is, can they do it in the playoffs? Again, this is still a pretty young team with Booker and Ayton and some of the young players. You know, having Paul helps with that experience factor, but I think they might be just a year away from, you know, making a deep, deep run. But obviously they play well, Utah, even though Mitchell's been banged up a little bit lately, you know, they're an outstanding team. The Clippers, you know, I was super disappointed in them last year, obviously blowing some leads, 15-point leads three different times in the playoffs against Denver. Kind of soured me a little bit on them, on their mental toughness, but, you know, they're still good. And you know, like we said, the Lakers, if you get everybody healthy, you know, they're a sixth seed that I would think nobody really wants to play.
You, of course, not only do Monter draft news, but also college basketball news. Tennessee had a couple of very impressive freshmen this past season, Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson. Johnson seems to be rated just a little bit ahead of Springer when it comes to projecting the next draft. How do you see those two prospects that have indeed put their name in for the draft?
Yeah, obviously two very talented young players. You know, we've talked about this before. I would love to maybe see the NBA go back to what they used to do, where players maybe could come out of high school. You know, kind of when I started following the draft and writing a lot about the draft, the first year I went to the Nike All-American camp, Kevin Garnett was there. And I sat by his mom every day. I got to know her really well. And, of course, he became the first player in over 20 years to be drafted into the NBA. And then you saw other players, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, you know, Dwight Howard. To be honest, a lot of those players were very successful, Jermaine O'Neal, and had long careers in the league. I was never real crazy about the one-and-done rule. I would have probably tried to make it 2 years. That way it's still not as harsh maybe as football, where you have to play 3 years, or even baseball, where you can be drafted after high school. But once you go to college, you can't be drafted until you're a junior. I think that would help the college and the pro game, with so many players just playing 1 year, and a lot of these players figuring, hey, I'm going to turn pro, and if things don't work out, they want to transfer or do something else. So, but again, those two players, Springer and Johnson, definitely are first-round picks. I think Johnson probably is going to be a lottery pick, an outstanding athletic player, you know, bounced back from that serious knee injury, had an outstanding rookie campaign, you know, very good defender, you know, just needs to continue to improve his outside shot. I think that's the big knock on him, shot less than 30%, and with the league becoming so predominant with a three-point shot, I think that's one thing he's going to have to work on. Springer had a great season shooting, but maybe needs to shoot more threes. He didn't really shoot a lot, but shot at over a 40% clip, outstanding defender. Like I said, a good but maybe not a great athlete. I think that's the one knock on him, but probably a player that figures to go somewhere in that mid to late first round.
Chris, I've never been one to throw shade on Kentucky basketball. However, how do you have a losing record and have five players declare for the NBA draft?
Well, you're right. I mean, and the funny thing is, now this has happened twice. Obviously, they had the 1 year when they made it to the NIT and then lost to Robert Morris. And then this year, you know, they didn't make the NCAA tournament. So yeah, the other question you have is, when you have that many first-round picks, how are you not even at least making the NCAA tournament? You know, it's interesting to see, with all the talk about the transfer portal, Minnesota, where I'm based out of, again, basically has two players left from last year's team. Eight guys put in their name in the transfer portal because of a coaching change, and they've signed six guys in that transfer portal. And people are talking about, can you really build a team through the transfer portal? I look at, hey, as good as those players are from the transfer portal, they're not as good as the players Kentucky's gotten. And they did win the national title, obviously, with Anthony Davis, and had the great team under with Carl Anthony Towns that lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four. But you have to also look, twice they haven't made the NCAA tournament. So you're right, a lot of individual talent. And that's a bad thing. Like I said, I sometimes think those kids in a perfect world, you know, back before the rule change, would have probably just put their name in the draft. And I think sometimes players are always thinking about the draft and maybe thinking about themselves more than the team. And that's why I think, you know, sometimes Calipari, you know, there's things about him I like, things I don't. But most of the time, especially remember that DeAndre Fox team a few years ago, and how, you know, how hard they took that loss in the NCAA tournament. And they really, really wanted to be a team. And he's got a good job sometimes getting those teams. And maybe sometimes, unfortunately, you know, the talent is looking more for the NBA. But I think most of the times he's got a good job putting the other teams that play together, play hard, want to win. And sometimes that doesn't work out. We saw that, obviously, this year. And, you know, obviously, I think COVID and everything going on in the world maybe had a little bit of effect. But you're right, it's surprising that you could – have that much talent, NBA talent, and not be more successful at times on the court.
Chris, have you been able to make it out on the court yourself recently?
No, I haven't played. I need to get out there. I've only shot like really once or twice, but I'm hoping, I got my second shot last Tuesday, so I'm hoping we'll start to play a little bit more on the court. The one good thing, I figure, to be honest, I like to, my goal when I play, when we play pickup, I try to guard who I think is going to give me the less, very little activity on my end. So I figure it's not really going to affect my defensive abilities. Cause to be honest, if I can outscore my guy, I'm happy with that. So I figure most of the people I talk to who I play basketball with know I really don't like to get within 6 feet of the guy I'm guarding anyway. So I figure it's not that big of a difference, but I'm hoping to get back on the court here soon. I'm also, I think we talked about this before, I'm a big concert person. 2019, I went to 104 concerts.
Wow.
Last year, I went to 4. Obviously, this year, I've gone to none. So I'm hoping that things will start opening up on that aspect as well.
John will sing for you.
Yeah, wish you the very best on all fronts. But, Chris, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Great to catch up with you again. Hope to do so again in the very near future. A fantastic follow at College BB News on Twitter, Monter Draft News. Chris, thank you so much. Take care.
Great talking to you guys. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Chris Monter joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to hour number 3 of Sports Talk, which today, of course, helping you make sure you're ready for the 9th, which is Mother's Day. It's Cinnaholic Gourmet Cinnamon Rolls. They have the Mother's Day box. It's $24.99, 2 custom cinnamon rolls. That's where you get the frosting of your choice. They have more than 20 to choose from. And the topping of your choice, almost 25 to choose from. You get 2 chocolate-covered strawberries, 2 mini brownies, and 2 mini cookies. Pre-ordering is best, and they can take care of you in Knoxville, where they're located right here on South North Shore, right near Pellissippi, or in Pigeon Forge on Teaster Lane. So again, pre-ordering is best. Make sure mom is taken care of for Mother's Day. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
One quick note, the Knoxville Open has announced their final 2 sponsor exemptions, and they go to Knoxville's Eric Axley, and they go to Cooper Musselman, who's on the Corn Ferry Tour, and he played at Kentucky. They are joined by Jonathan Hodge and Casey Flanagan, both local players. So the 2 most recent additions, sponsor exemptions, Eric Axley, Cooper Musselman.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Hour number 4 of Sports Talk is coming up. We've got a lot more coming your way before we step aside at 7, and they want to do a giveaway. We'll throw this out here very quickly. All you have to do is be the first caller, not the first caller, the first person to come to the West Knoxville location, which is South North Shore, right near Pellissippi, and just tell us which NBA team Steve Hamer played for. That's all you have to do. First one in to tell us that, we'll get a $25 gift card here for Cinnaholic. We've got hour number 4 of Sports Talk coming up. Your chance to win is next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.